This edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, we're overbearing sports parents. Fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch, no matter if it's ugly, like the Philadelphia Eagles tend to be week in and week out. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles and now Locked On Saints for another episode of Crossover Thursday, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Joining you from Locked On Eagles, it is your host, as always, Gino Camilleri, joined by Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. Ross, what's it like to actually have a team that is competitive this year and is going to be making their way to a playoff?
Hey, come on now. The Eagles are still in it. They're still in it.
They're a chip in a chair. We've been there many times before, but I think both of our teams are on the opposite spectrum. So what is your feeling right now? You just go out there and you clinch a playoff berth. Are you trying to get that number one seed and win every game the rest of the way? I'm sure it's an easy question to answer, but I just want to know where your head's at with that.
No, definitely no. It's a good question. I think for the Saints, like, their priority definitely is getting that number one seed. We've seen what happens when they have to play wild card weekend. It does not always work out for them. So the fewer amounts of games that they have to play, the lesser amount of games they have to play in the playoffs, the better off they'll be. And I know that with the injuries that they're dealing with right now, particularly Drew Brees trying to come back from 11 rib fractures and a collapsed lung, if they get that extra week off in between the final divisional game, week 17 against the Carolina Panthers, and then the first game of the playoffs, they don't have to play into the division, then obviously they will be very, very comfortable with that time off.
Absolutely, and rightfully so. We saw what the Eagles were able to do with that back in 2017, getting the number one overall seed, able to make their way to a Super Bowl, because you know how important it is, especially now that only one team does have it. And you're coming in, going against an Eagles team that has been beat up, banged up, just absolutely run over week after week. But the Saints, they have a very good defense right now, and their offense seems to be making their way along. So without Drew Brees, kind of give those individuals who haven't seen a Saints game post Drew Brees injury a little breakdown of how things are going on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest story, of course, is always going to be Taysom Hill, right? Taysom Hill comes in. He's now 3-0 in place of Drew Brees, two Falcons games, and then, of course, one Denver Broncos game that probably shouldn't really even count, to be completely honest, you know, because they were playing with like their 17th string quarterback to the point where they were trying to put a assistant coach out there before they were willing to put Kendall Hinton out there. So, you know, I mean, look, the Broncos game, they still had to go and win it, though, and they did. So it counts. And so I think that when you look at, you know, what this team has done without Drew Brees so far, it all comes down to Taysom Hill, four rushing touchdowns, a couple of passing touchdowns. Now just had his first two passing touchdowns of his career, Traquan Smith, Jared Cook in the end zone against the Atlanta Falcons here last week. And then now he's looking to just kind of build off of that momentum, which kind of got stifled a little bit in the second half against the Falcons. He's got some fumbling issues, 9 fumbles on the season that I think a lot of people will rightfully harp on, because, you know, you want to see the guy improve. So in order for you to see him improve, you got to note what has to improve upon. So that'll be something to really keep an eye out on, especially with some athletic defenders on that, particularly on that front four for Philadelphia. You don't want to give up a fumble in the backfield. So that'll be something to keep an eye out on, is his ball security. But, you know, when you look at the way that the Saints have been winning, you've had 2 100-yard games from Michael Thomas, who was but limited in practice on Wednesday. And then you have, you know, 2 straight games where the Saints have run for over 200 yards, 4 straight weeks, 5 straight weeks now, to where they've run over 30 times in the game. So you see them really leaning on the run game as well to help keep that offense moving.
Yeah, something us Eagles fans don't want to hear, as the Eagles defense has been one of the lesser teams in terms of stopping the run this year. And Michael Thomas has given us fits time and time again going against this team. But let's move to the defense. Somebody who has been talked about largely even after their departure is Malcolm Jenkins. Give us a little insight of exactly how big his spark was this season and just where this defense is, because if you look at any statistical measure right now, they're right at the top of the pack.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And Malcolm Jenkins has been actually a pretty interesting story so far this season, because if you look at how they were using him early, it was a lot of like trying to get him involved in coverage in the middle of the field, kind of asking him to do a little bit of everything. And that was a big issue in terms of his usage. I'm sure that sounds pretty familiar. But then they really got him settled into a spot where he was playing sort of in the, you know, in the slot, but also up against the line of scrimmage, all of that stuff. And once they really focused him there, you saw a big improvement in his game. Even Dennis Allen said during a press conference that like they're finally comfortable with the way that they're using Malcolm Jenkins. There was a little bit of trying to figure it out. They're using him as a split safety a couple of times, and now you're really seeing them focus him toward the line of scrimmage, with the exception of, you know, late passing, obvious passing plays and things like that. So he's been a great benefit. Communication has really stepped up for the Saints all throughout the season, and he's been a big part of that, along with guys like DeMario Davis, the addition of Quan Alexander, but a little bit more of like veteran leadership, all the stuff that you're accustomed to as Philadelphia Eagles fans. Listen to this, you know what Malcolm Jenkins brings to the team in terms of leadership, veteran savvy, football intelligence. All of that definitely came with him as advertised, but you're really starting to see him take a little bit more of a playmaker role here over the last few weeks as well.
I'm sure Malcolm is kind of glad that he got out of Philadelphia this year and got over there to New Orleans. And that leads me to my next question. The Eagles and Saints right now are the two worst cap strap teams going into this offseason. Both teams at polar ends of the spectrum. But to you and to the rest of the Saints fan and the reality of the organization, is this the end-all be-all year where a rebuild is going to begin after this year, or are all the chips on the table and they think that if they don't win this year, they have a chance to compete next year, even if they don't bring back Drew Brees and a lot of these veteran presences?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that is built to remain competitive as early as next season. I'm not saying they're going to be a Super Bowl favorite next season, because I'm fairly certain they're going to lose Drew Brees at the end of this year. It makes sense that he would retire. He was strongly considering retirement before the season. Now he's got, you know, 11 rib fractures and just a little old collapsed lung, you know. So I think that those things will sort of equate or be, you know, a value towards his decision-making process over the summer. And I think that, or over the spring, I guess. And I would be shocked to see him back as a Saint next season. So that frees up a large chunk of the $95 million that they're over. They've also got some fifth-year options that they can extend those players, lock them down for a few more years. And then that does two things. It keeps them competitive with guys like Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, who's very important to their offensive line, while also lessening some of the cap hit for next season. The Saints really won't have too much of a hard time getting under the cap hit. They'll have to, or under the new cap, assuming that it is where we expect it to be. The hard part is going to be, you know, making some decisions on some role player type players like Alex Anzalone, Marcus Williams, who's played really well so far this season, Sheldon Rankins next season, Malcolm Brown, those guys that are a little bit more role player-y. Those are the ones that they'll have to make longer or harder decisions on. But other guys like, you know, foundational players to their defense and foundational players to their offense, you know, Alvin Kamara's already extended. Michael Thomas is already extended. Taysom Hill's already on the books for next year. Most of their offensive line is already retained. Andrus Peat's already extended. Like, they're not going to lose a ton of players based on what they have right now. The hardest part is just going to be retaining some of the guys whose contracts are expiring next season as opposed to fifth-year options and bringing in new free agents. That's where it's going to be a little bit tougher, but they'll make it work. They always do with the salary cap.
Yeah, they kind of have to. It's a rule. So they absolutely have to get under that. And like I said, we're on both ends of the spectrum here. It seems like we are in for a full-on rebuild come this offseason here in Philadelphia. So, hey, cherish it while you can. Remain competitive for as long as you can. And coming this Sunday, what do you think on your end is the biggest, and I would say whatever you can find in terms of being a scary factor of this Eagles offense or defense to exploit this Saints team coming up this weekend.
I think that when it comes down to the Philadelphia Eagles and their defense, the biggest thing that I think is going to be sort of the scariest part for the Saints offense is just going to be the pass rush. I mean, Fletcher Cox has been very good. They have great guys along that front four. They can get pressure with their front four as opposed to having to dedicate some of these linebackers in the pass rush as well. Certainly, they have the ability to do that, but that's going to be a big part of it because we've seen Taysom Hill struggle with zone coverage. So if the Eagles are able to get pressure with their front four and then drop the back seven into zone coverage, that's something that could make Taysom Hill hold on to the ball for a little bit longer than he needs to, and then allow the pass rush to get after him. And then, like I mentioned, the fumbling issues, the ball security concerns, those definitely come into play if he's under duress in the backfield.
Absolutely. I think that would probably be the Eagles' only chance to come out and win this game. Ross Jackson, thank you for joining us and answering our questions here on the Locked On Eagles. And coming up on the other side of the segment, we will switch up roles here, and Ross will be asking me some questions about the Birds and facing the Saints. We have a special word from our sponsors over at Built Bar. We are talking Built Go, people. Built Go is one of my favorites. It's what makes you the best at whatever you do. Frankly, I take Built Go anytime I do a podcast. Keeps me sharp and keeps my energy high. And it breaks you through that wall, whether it's mentally or physically. It will break through and get you going every single day. Comes in an easy 1.5 ounce packages. You can carry them in your briefcase and even in wallet sometimes if you have one of those big George Costanza type wallets. Built Go is a workout gel, the best one on the market. It's better than those 5-hour energy ones where you feel that crash feeling. It comes in 3 delicious flavors in peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint, which is my personal favorite. So visit builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, that's LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's use promo code LOCKED for 20% off builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right, y'all. It is Crossover Thursday. And don't forget that the wait is almost over. The 2020-2021 NBA season is almost here, and Locked On NBA, the podcast, is going to be there with you for a special week of shows beginning December 14th to get previews of every team division by division from all 30 of our Locked On local experts, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions from each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcast. Very grateful to be here with everybody. We got Saints listeners. We got Eagles listeners. We got a Saints and Eagles game up this week, and I have the great pleasure of accompanying my good friend here, Gino Camilleri, from over at the Locked On Eagles podcast. Myself, Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. Gino, I'm going to bug you with some questions real quick about this matchup, and I have to start with the big news, of course. Doug Peterson announcing that Jalen Hurts is going to be the starting quarterback is expected to be the starting quarterback going into this game on Sunday. What does Jalen Hurts bring this Philadelphia Eagles team that maybe they were missing with Carson Wentz, or is there just more concern around Jalen Hurts starting than anything else?
Lou and I talked about this yesterday, of course. This was arguably one of the pillars of the entire Eagles organization and franchise crumbling underneath us, because we had a quote-unquote franchise quarterback, and benching him, that kind of just shakes up the entire foundation of right. Everything that we thought we had in place, especially after this extension, especially after everything that they had given up to go out and get Carson Wentz. But at the same time, Jalen Hurts was a 53rd overall pick in the second round, a pick that they could have gone out and drafted Jeremy Chinn, which was highly talked about in this offseason. And now that you see a lot of these pieces come together, the more and more you look at it, I'm not 100% sold that this team was sold on Carson as the future if they went out and made that selection. Right. And I don't believe that that should have been the case. I believe Carson Wentz is still an exceptional football player. I still think he can be fixed. I just think right now in these 4 games, you have to see what you have in Jalen Hurts and what Jalen brings you that Carson doesn't. And no qualms to Carson or what he had gone through this season, but let's call a spade a spade. The offensive line stinks right now. They're down to their third and fourth options all over the board. We have Jason Peters, who moved from left tackle to right guard with a broken toe. We have players like Nate Herbig having to go in the middle of the game, who should be starting over players like Jason Peters. We have Jordan Mailata, who's in and out of the lineup at left tackle. There's no continuity there. The wide receivers just seem not to go out there and play. All of a sudden, we have Alshon Jeffrey, who couldn't separate from me, frankly, in coverage, going out there and competing. And right now, Jalen Hurts, with everything going on bad around this offense, brings a little bit of a spark, because you see guys, and you've seen, in frankly, in the Eagles' history, guys like McNabb and Vic, who have had some lesser teams that have had to run for their lives, and their legs have made things happen. And in today's modern NFL, athleticism wins. That's what it is. And Jalen Hurts is a great athlete. You're going to put him out there. Hopefully you just get him some quick throws into rhythm. Use his legs to hit his advantage, because right now you were playing basically 11-on-10 football with not getting Carson Wentz outside the pocket like they were doing halfway through the season. Now you're playing on 11-on-11 football once again with Jalen Hurts, and going against a fantastic Saints defense, you're going to have to do whatever it takes to get this defense questioning their reads, questioning their gaps, and I think Jalen Hurts is the best option going into this game to get a little bit of spark.
I like it. What is the one thing that you would say that Jalen Hurts struggles with? Obviously, you guys took a good long look at him after he was selected by Philly, maybe even before, but you know, after he was selected in the draft process. What is kind of the one big concern around Jalen Hurts that the Saints may be able to take advantage of?
Yeah, so you're going to go against the kid who, frankly, he's seen a lot in his career. And if you look back to his time at Alabama, getting benched for Tua in that national championship game, going out there and moving to Oklahoma and having success, the one thing that you won't see is that he's going to compete all game. We know that. But what you have to take advantage of is that he is still very young. You have to take advantage of him coming out of an Oklahoma system where he didn't have to make many reads, moving into a pro-style offense once again, which he did at Alabama, but now moving to a different style in Doug Peterson's offense. They weren't really giving him first-team reps, I mean, until this week, really. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those reps that he was getting were in those sub-packages where they were playing him one or two games. So you're going to have to throw different looks at him. I know that your defense does a great job of changing up the intermediate and the deep third between playing inverted coverages, and that's exactly what you're going to have to do, because I had the pleasure of looking at Marcus Williams' tape the past couple weeks here. I have to grade it out for a project I'm doing, and you have a guy in the back end that could fly around like him, and you have a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Malcolm Jenkins and your corners on the outside, which of course speak for themselves. If you could just toss around those coverages a little bit, get Jalen Hurts thinking and make him beat himself, I think it could be a long day for the rookie. And hey, Carson Wentz might be licking at his chops seeing how bad that Jalen Hurts could do this week. But at the same time, if Doug Peterson does what we think he's going to do with Jalen Hurts, I don't expect him to be going beyond one or two reads at all this Sunday.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense to see them sort of simplify that offense for him, maybe some half-field reads, things like that. And you're right, like the Saints are definitely going to spend some time making sure that they're, you know, what they're showing pre-snap, different than what they're going to be actually, you know, rotating their safeties into and things like that. So you know 100% that they're going to be going into this game about, okay, how can we fool the kid, right? That's what it's all going to be about. And certainly the Saints pass rush, Trey Hendrickson, the surprise of the season, 10.5 sacks. He's going to be matching up with whomever is playing left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. You were mentioning earlier the health around the offensive line. That's going to be a big matchup for the Saints defensive line. But I want to flip the script a little bit. I just didn't want to go without mentioning that. But I'm a little bit curious about if there are any matchups that you're keeping your eye on from the other side of that, which would be the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line going up against the Saints offensive line going into this game.
I think this is going to be one of those games where it's just hard-nosed. Whoever wins in the trenches is probably going to win this game, because like you said, with Taysom Hill, Jim Schwartz loves to run zone defense. So I don't expect any reason why he would go against that philosophy. And he's had a pretty good successful track record against quarterbacks that, let's say, they're not in the top tier of the NFL. And and frankly, to say Taysom is, it would be outside of the basis of reality. He's an average quarterback right now. So you're going to go out there and you're going to do the things that work for your defense. And a lot of the times when you're going against these lesser quarterbacks, Jim Schwartz loves to bring pressure. So if you can allow your front four to get home and you could throw in these different types of blitzes that they like to do. They like to blitz Rodney McLeod from single high. They like to bring him down into the slot. They like to blitz Alex Singleton and TJ Edwards from the A-gap blitzes. They have to be doing to Taysom Hill what we know the Saints will be doing to Jalen Hurts. They have to confuse the heck out of him. We know that this Eagles team likes to get home with front four, but if you let Taysom Hill get outside the pocket and you're only rushing four, he's going to eat you alive all day long. So you have to try and stop him in the backfield. I would suspect they're going to try and blitz more often than they have in the past few weeks. But at the same time, if the Saints go out there and they dominate on the offensive side of the football and they allow Alvin Kamara to hit his first read and get through the gap, at the second level, the Eagles have struggled to make tackles in the open field, especially against elite players like Alvin Kamara, for goodness sake. I'm just having nightmares wondering what that's going to be like. So you better hope that you're stopping Taysom Hill early on. You send a lot of those run blitzes to do the same with Alvin Kamara, something that they've had success with. I just think you stick with the plan that's been working the last 3 weeks, which has been a very good defense. And unfortunately, your offense hasn't been able to bail you out, but that's the only way they're going to win this game. Hopefully they can get some turnovers in regards to fumbles. They've only had 3 interceptions all year, none from our cornerbacks. And with Darius Slay possibly being injured this game, I can't see that changing. So you better hope you could get into the backfield and quick this week. Once again, we would like to bring you a message from our sponsors at Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined a league of their own, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch it. If you're there watching your team get a win, something that us Eagles fans don't see, have a Pepsi because it'll make your day that much better. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football.
I'm glad that you brought up Darius Slay. I wanted to go there next. A little bit more of a casual question, but when it comes down to the potential of Darius Slay and Michael Thomas matching up with one another, although they're both limited on the injury report for Wednesday. So now we both are sort of crossing our fingers going, oh, I hope at least one of these guys gets out on the field. But that matchup between Darius Slay and Michael Thomas is something I'm very much looking forward to. I imagine that that would be a nice matchup to watch from your perspective as well.
Absolutely. After we saw Davante Adams, somebody who excels in the intermediate and deep third of the field, somewhere where Darius Slay has had a little bit of trouble this year, I'm excited to see what he can do against a guy who, Michael Thomas, he dominates in those short to intermediate areas. Mm-hmm. If Darius Slay could keep things in front of him, he's very patient with his feet. He's very patient with his hands. He's not going to waste too much movement. If he could keep things in front of him, and I'm sure they're going to try to do a lot of short to intermediate routes with Michael Thomas to get the ball out quick from Taysom Hill.
Definitely.
That's exactly where you're going to see those dominant matchups. And hey, I could see it going both ways. I don't think it's going to be as dominant as Davante Adams was last week and just absolutely torching him. But I think this will be what you traded Darius Slay to do. Go out there and match up against this type of player. But in regards to the other players defending, my goodness, Avante Maddox has been so bad this year. Nickel Robey Coleman has done okay. He's improved, but man, oh man, if you can't stop their number one wide receiver, your number two and three are going to have success. And I'm worried about the tight ends, frankly, as well. They always eat us up alive on this Philadelphia Eagles defense.
Yeah, Jared Cook is going to be looking to really make up for some of the lack of production he's had over the last few games. He did have a touchdown, though, against the Falcons. So obviously he'll be looking to build off that. And the Saints have had a nice little ramp up for Adam Trautman so far. And I'm glad you brought up the tight ends. The last question I wanted to have for you, wanted to get to you here. Jalen Hurts is not going to have the type of talent around him that maybe he had in terms of the competition level at Alabama. And then, you know, relative to the competition level when he was with Oklahoma, but he still has some great tight ends. Some great players at positions that matter. There we go. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, great tandem of running backs there, but also Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert with tight end. Do you expect those four to be a huge part of the game plan in Jalen Hurts' first start?
I would say you would have to think, simply because of the areas where those two individuals excel, and that's between 8 and 10 yards, somewhere where you're going to want to hit routes from Jalen Hurts this week. But Miles Sanders, I don't know what has happened to him in terms of the passing game, but I don't think he's caught a pass all season. I think every time a ball has come to him, he looks upfield and he drops it, and they really need to figure out him really quick. But I think getting Boston Scott out to the flat will be something that they're going to have to continue to look to do. Look at Jalen Reagor to get some bubble screens this week, get him involved in some end-arounds. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot of change-up in regards to their formations from, I would say, lining Dallas Goedert up as an up-back behind, or and have Miles Sanders behind him. I could see Jalen Reagor being in the backfield. Sometimes you're going to have to throw the entire kitchen sink at the Saints defense this week. And frankly, when you have a guy who is as fresh as Jalen Hurts, somebody who the league doesn't have a lot of tape on,
right,
this is one of those games where, yeah, maybe early on you could catch them off guard and get a little bit of a lead. And if you think you could get out to a lead in that fashion, hopefully your defense can hold up. But on the other end of it, if all those that trickery goes awry and the Saints stay sound to their gaps and their defending on the outside will be as good as we know it is with Lattimore and company, it could be a long day. But frankly, I think it's going to be one of the more fun games we see out of Philadelphia all year. It's a change-up for once. Wentz, call a spade, he was broken this season. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to see him go out there and just continue to get beaten and battered. I mean, he's got the most hits against him in the NFL this year.
Right.
Evaluate your young talent, especially because you know that you're probably going to have a top 10 pick this year. If Hurts isn't the option, hey, maybe you find that out the next 4 weeks and you go out and you can have a chance to draft a kid like Zach Wilson or Trey Lance out of North Dakota State and BYU, respectively.
Absolutely, yes. Gino, such a pleasure, man. Thank you very much for taking the time. Always, always love getting to talk with you. I know we had you over on the Sunday morning show. You're excellent, excellent here. Always a pleasure, dude. Looking forward to this one. I think this is going to be a very, very fun matchup, and I'm sure we'll be hitting each other back and forth on Twitter every now and then throughout, being like, did you see that?
Of course.
This is going to be a lot in this one. So such a pleasure, dude.
This is going to be one that I always look forward to, and I always hate it because my best man in my wedding, and I'm his best man, he's a Saints fan, I'm an Eagles fan. I dread this game every single time it happens, and I always know that Philadelphia comes out on the worst end of it. So I'm not looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Monday when I could focus on the Arizona Cardinals next week.
It
should be fun, Ross. Thank you for having me as always. And thank you guys for joining us here on the Lockdown Crossover Thursday show.